When I first started this work, I used to think that if I can get through to a pastor of a church and convince that person of the truth, then by extension, I could reach many people because the pastor was in charge of many people. And if the pastor could just see the truth, then his poor sheep would also see the truth. And because of this, I would write 40-page letters back when I was a kid, you know, a kid in this work, thinking to change these people's minds. But of course, it sharpened my skills of logic, my scripture skills, gave these scripture verses to me that I use today, put them at my ready disposal. But one thing I did learn is that you're not going to convince these people. It's a rare thing to convince a professional clergyman of the truth. This is one of my initial helps to you today in sharing this evangel with people. This goes along with what I said yesterday. You don't force it into places. Writing a pastor or going into the pastor's office is definitely forcing it into places, and you're just going to frustrate yourself. You're going to cast your pearls before swine, and the only thing you're doing is sharpening your skills, but you might end up discouraging yourself. Don't venture in there. I talked about Jehovah's Witnesses yesterday. I know people who, for sport, will invite Jehovah's Witnesses into their home. I take that back. Some people do it actually thinking that they are going to persuade the Jehovah's Witness to believe in the salvation of all, to believe in Paul's gospel, to believe in the sovereignty of God. You're not going to do that. It makes sense. Funny because the Jehovah's Witness people, I mean, true, you know, you take the offensive, yeah, and you go in and start talking to them, and in the best case scenario, they will, oh, yeah, really, oh, yeah, but you have to keep something in mind, please. The Jehovah's Witness people are in a cult, and they are brainwashed, and their brains are on autopilot. They are nodding with what you say, oh, but they are not hearing a single word you say. Don't be falsely encouraged by a pastor or a Jehovah's Witness person or a Catholic or a Methodist. Don't be falsely encouraged by you telling them something and them nodding. Even cows can nod their heads. They're not hearing anything that you're saying. So don't waste your time. When a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door here, Juliana gets all excited. Martinico, that's what she calls me. Martinico. Like, I really want to talk to these people. Like, she's thinking, like, here's your big chance to talk to. That's like, please, don't. I'm not going to go near them. And I don't want them near me. Okay, that's numero uno. Yeah, one of my... Listen, okay, before I say that, the one thing good about what we believe is we know that God is the Savior of all humanity and that God looks at the human race with peace in his heart because of what Jesus Christ did. So we have that same peace. So we're not driven. We're not falsely driven by this false fear of eternal torment to go out and try to save everyone. So therefore, as I told you yesterday, we take that deep breath and we relax, and now we can wait for God to bring people to us. We don't have to be aggressive. Now, I'm aggressive on this video. I'm aggressive in my articles. I'm aggressive in a situation where I'm not personally confronting anyone. I'm writing for the ages. I'm speaking to you. I'm also speaking for the ages, for future generations. Not that there's going to be any because, you know, we're going to be snatched away 5 minutes from now. But the idea is we're speaking now about personal interaction with other people. The best thing that I like to do is to sit in a group of people who begin, let's say the topic comes up. You're at dinner or something and the topic of God comes up and people start talking. And you have all this great information about God in your mind. You have the truth. You have the scriptures. You understand the foundations, the basics of the eons, the two evangels. You understand the critical mistranslations of Ionian and Hades and Gehenna and Tartarus. And you understand the goal of God. You understand the absolute versus the relative perspective You understand God's processes versus his goals. I mean, you are loaded. You are freighted with so much mature wisdom that you're like, you have a PhD in the truth. And you're just sitting there listening. It's a beautiful thing. You are loaded. And you sit there. Arnold Schwarzenegger used to say that when he went to bodybuilding competitions and he's hanging out with the other competitors in the lobby, he could tell who was going to lose. Because the losers, i.e. the posers, they were all walking around in these tight shirts and short shorts, and they were really showing off their muscles. And Schwarzenegger would come into a competition in loose fitting garments, and he wouldn't strain to reveal his gigantic biceps because he knew he was the best. He knew he was gonna take them all down. When you're driving a Maserati, you don't go 300 miles an hour down the street. You can go the speed limit, stop at stop signs, because you're gonna turn heads because people know that you have the fastest car on the highway. Or I don't know anything about sports cars. Put your best Italian sports car in this equation. You know you have the fastest car. What are the posers doing? They're at the stoplights, all souping up and everything. And just like the bodybuilders, the amateur, the guys think they're going to win. And you just look at them and it's like, dude, you got nothing. So this is me and this should be you when you're involved in talks. When you start hearing about Bible information, you just sit there and it's just like, I can relax. Because as soon as you open your mouth, when you do get a chance to open your mouth, and you will because it's a discussion, you're going to be the last word. You're going to bring the house down. You're going to blow the whole thing up, which is a beautiful thing. That's why it's so beautiful to wait and bide your time. Bide your time. Don't come across as arrogant. Wear your baggy scriptural clothes. Cruise up to the stop sign, go the speed limit, be nice to everyone. You don't have to pose, you don't have to rev your engines because you the best, honey. You are the best. They got nothing on you, you got it all. Boom. That is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Because you're loaded for bear. And so when you do open your mouth, bang, it's like the Dutch boy taking his finger out of the hole in the dike. You're a torrent of grace and peace and truth and information and scripture references, and you bring the house down. And some people might get agitated. I hope so, because when you share the evangel, you must be black and white. You cannot be gray. You cannot say, well, it's my opinion. Do not ever say it's my opinion, unless it is your opinion. But if you know truth, it's not your opinion, is it? Well, here's the facts. This verse, this verse, this verse. And when somebody says to you, for instance, God created evil. Well, I just think God created evil. No, don't say that. You don't think God created evil. God created evil, Isaiah 45, verse 7. And you show that verse to people. God created evil. Why would he do that? Well, I'll tell you that later. I just want you to see the scriptural fact. And then I've had people say to me, well, give me another verse. I said, no, I'm only going to give you one. Deal with that one. I have other verses. I have a dozen other verses in my vast arsenal, but I don't bring them up. Let them deal with that one. Then, of course, you can explain to them later the whole purpose of evil. Contrast, evil's not eternal. It'll eventually be abolished after it's done its work. It's good and necessary work. It's a beautiful thing. So, yes, you bide your time. You wait patiently. And then you unload. And yes, you can't be gray. Just speak the truth firmly. It doesn't have to be eloquent, but you have to be sure about it. All right? Don't waffle. And one of my most viewed videos is Eternal Torment Believers Are Nuts. If you haven't seen it, look it up. Look up Martin Zender. Go to YouTube. Look up Martin Zender. Eternal Torment Believers Are Nuts. It's a beautiful thing. This is one of my most viewed videos. It has over 20,000 views. I think it's like 20,168. Not that I'm counting. And but it's the title that grabs people. Eternal Torment Believers Are Nuts. See, I say the truth. I don't waffle it. I don't compromise it. I don't sand off the edges of it. And here's another thing I would like you to do when you're presenting the truth. this is really helpful, is we're constantly on the defense. We're always waiting for people to say that we're crazy. We're the crazy ones because we don't go to church. We're the crazy ones because we believe God's going to save everyone. We're the crazy ones because we believe God is in control of the universe. This is what I want you to do from now on. I want you to take the offensive. This throws them off every time. What do I mean by that? When you find out that somebody's talking about people going to hell, say, this is what you say. You say, wait a minute. Let me see if I heard you right, because I couldn't have heard you right. You believe people are going to burn in hell for eternity? What? And they'll be, I guarantee you, they have never been shoved back on their heels like that. Because they're always the ones that are out persecuting people for believing opposite of them. Yet they believe that God is an eternal tormentor. They believe that the very God who sent his son to save the world is going to condemn most of the world. What? How can you possibly believe that? You must be in a cult. You have to add that. You must be in a cult. You're not. You know, when it gets to this point, you're out to witness to the truth. You're not out to make friends. And if your friends are mature, they will stay your friends. But you must turn the tables on them. You don't believe Jesus was a successful savior? Wow. Who told you that? Where did you hear that? Well, in my church? Whew, that church is stuck in apostasy. Well, Paul did say that the apostasy would be rampant, and your church is in the middle of it. If you actually believe that Jesus Christ did not save the world at the cross, Jesus Christ didn't take away the sin of the world, what? Or what, you believe Jesus Christ didn't actually die? You're kidding me. Where'd you hear that? You must be in a cult. I love that one. You must be in a cult. You need to analyze. You don't believe God's sovereign? All right. That's a lot of fun at a party. That will really make you popular. And then also, you must agree with people as much as you can. People forget this. This is a great way. This is my preferred method. And they say, I just believe there's great judgment ahead of you. Yeah, absolutely. I do too. And they're shocked because they've heard of your reputation. You go to a party or a gathering, people know that you're who you are. You're a weirdo. You believe all this weird stuff. And then people like to poke you. You know, they'll say something. I just think that there's going to be millions of people going to the lake of fire. This is your answer. Yep, there sure is. And they're shocked. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to miss out on God. Yep, there sure are. I mean, but Jesus said that great destruction was coming to those who didn't believe. Yep, that's true. There is a lot of great destruction. And then they're shocked. And it's like they're wondering, well, where do my beliefs differ from yours? And this is where you need to remember this very important thing from me, Martin Zender. Don't leave judgment out of your presentation. You must speak of judgment. Because the worst thing you can say is to lead with this and to say everybody's going to heaven. You just don't say that. You believe everybody's going to go to heaven? If you have to answer that directly, just say eventually. But all people want to hear, they can't believe that Hitler's going to be where they are someday. Now, even though that's true, that he is, there's a large intervening step between Hitler coming to God and you coming to God. We're going directly to God, to not pass go, to not collect $200. We don't need to get out of jail free card. Boom, we're getting snatched away. Hitler's going to be at the Great White Throne, and there's going to be fury and affliction on that man, and he's going to suffer greatly. And so the judgment, people just want to hear that Hitler's going to get his ass kicked. Don't skip that part. You must slow down the film, revel in it. Oh my God, Hitler, he's in for it. Is he? Oh, yeah. I thought you believed God's the savior of all. He is the savior of all humanity. But oh, Hitler, jeez, look what he did to the Jews. Oh, jeez. And just, you know, emphasize the judgment. And then say, but you don't think like judgment lasts forever, do you? You don't believe that judgment keeps going on and on and on and on. I mean, Hitler's eventually going to come to the truth just like you did. You would be Hitler if it weren't for the grace of God. You had your come to Jesus moment. Are you going to rob Hitler of his come to Jesus moment? Bring up Hitler. That's the great one. Bring up Hitler. Hitler's going to get his ass kicked. You've got to mention that to them. Don't forget judgment. Even Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, he talks about God judging those. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about Alexander the coppersmith. God's going to judge that guy. Oh, before my thing burns up here. I got to tell you this. Never say you don't believe in hell. Or when somebody says to you, I hear you don't believe in hell. You say, what? Of course I believe in hell. I believe in all three hells. This is what you have to say. Because hell is in the Bible. So you can't deny something that's in the Bible. Don't say, I hear this all the time from universal reconciliation believers, people who believe in the successful work of Jesus Christ. I don't even like to say universal reconciliation. It's too many syllables. Sounds like a cult or something. We believe Jesus Christ was a successful Savior. I believe Jesus Christ was greater than Adam. That's how I put it, greater than Adam. In fact, I got a book coming out called Greater Than Adam. People will say, yeah, we do too. Really? Do you? And now you can start a dialogue. But don't say, I don't believe in hell. I believe in hell. I do believe in hell. I do believe in hell. All three of them. What do you mean all three of them? Ah, now you've started a dialogue, haven't you? You can tell them about the three different Greek words translated hell. You can say, oh, Jesus never spoke English. That's how I like to do it. Well, Jesus never spoke English, you know. And then that, but don't say you don't believe in hell, and for sure bring up judgment, and for sure be black and white. Don't sit around giving opinions, and don't be constantly on the defensive, letting other people tell you that you're nuts. They're nuts. They're crazy. They believe in eternal torment, for the love of God.